Hear God's word. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me.
Having reached this point in the book of John, we have now come to the end of Jesus' public ministry, which might seem strange considering we're only in chapter 12 of a book that has 21 chapters. But this is because nearly half of the Gospel of John is devoted to the final week of Jesus' life, far more than any of the other three Gospel accounts. Now it's the day before Palm Sunday, a week before Jesus goes to the cross. It's a Saturday, just days before the Passover, and a dinner is given in Jesus' honor in Bethany. Now, on the surface, it might appear, we would just assume, that the dinner is being held in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. But we know from the Gospel of Matthew and Mark that the dinner is actually being hosted by a man named Simon the leper, which doesn't sound too appetizing for dinner, does it? But it's likely that Simon no longer had leprosy. He probably was healed of it by Jesus. They certainly wouldn't be having dinner in his home if he still had leprosy. But though Simon hosted the dinner, Martha was the chief server of the meal, which doesn't come as a surprise to any of us. And joining Martha in the house were, of course, Simon, the host of the dinner, Mary, who is Martha's sister, and Lazarus, as you will recall, Martha's brother. Also the 12 disciples, and we're told that Jesus was the guest of honor. So why was Jesus the guest of honor at this dinner in Bethany? Well, you'll recall that Jesus did something very special for Lazarus not long before this. He was dead for 4 days, and Jesus raised him back to life. So the family was very grateful, very appreciative of what Jesus had done for Lazarus and the family. So they decided to have a dinner in his honor to really show their appreciation and their honor and gratitude for what he had done. We can assume that the dinner proceeded pretty much as dinners typically would. The food was prepared, then the food was served, and those having the meal would have eaten the food, they would have talked, they would have laughed, they would have fellowshiped together. But at one point in the meal, something very strange and unusual happened. We read about that in verse 3. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now, I'm from the South, so I say perfume. Other people, like Scott, who's not from the South, say perfume, but it's the same word. So when I say perfume, don't get confused and think it's something else that we're talking about. But this act by Mary was strange in many different ways. Let me mention a few of them. First of all, in that culture, it would have been unusual for a woman to even be present when a group of men were being served a meal. A woman in that culture would have either served the meal or she would have been out of sight, but not in any way part of the gathering. Secondly, though foot anointing was done, it was not usually done during a meal. It was done at the door of the home, and as guests arrived, their feet dirty from dusty roads, their feet would be washed as they entered. Thirdly, foot washing and anointing was considered menial work, and it was really delegated almost always to a servant in the house, certainly not a woman who was a dear friend of the guest of honor at the dinner. Fourth, Mary let her hair down to wipe Jesus' feet of the perfume that she had poured on them. Women in that society did not let their hair down in public. It was considered indecent, and sometimes it was even considered immoral. You just didn't do it. Fifth, Mary didn't use water or oil to anoint Jesus' feet, which would have been fairly common, but she used outrageously expensive and rare perfume. The text says that the perfume was pure nard. Nard was a fragrant oil taken from a plant native to the Himalayas in northern India. It was hard to get. It was hard to transport. It was extremely expensive. Judas calculated the cost, and his estimate was probably pretty accurate, equivalent to 300 denarii. Now, the average day laborer in that time period made about one denarius a day. So if you take out the Sabbaths along the way and days that were feast days when work wasn't done, you're talking about 300 days, roughly, of work. So at a denarius a day, that'd be about 300 denarii. Now, by today's standards, if we want to sort of do a comparison, minimum wage is $6.55 at 300 days of 8-hour days each. That totals $15,720. $15,720 for a bottle of perfume. I told you it was expensive. And it was pure nard. It wasn't diluted, it wasn't mixed, and it was contained in an alabaster bottle, we're told in Matthew, which would have not been cheap all by itself. And Mary broke the bottle. She didn't just open the top and use some and then plan to save the rest for later. It says that she broke the bottle. She lopped the neck off the bottle so that all of it would have to be used right then. None could be saved for later. Now, after this, we get the response to those who had gathered for the dinner. Verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? Now, we know from the other gospel accounts that Judas was not the only one who was indignant. The disciples, other than Judas, were as well. They all felt that this was an extravagant, irresponsible waste of resources. Now, notice, if you would, what they don't say, but what is clearly implied. What they're really saying is, why was this perfume wasted on Jesus? That's really what it comes down to. Why wasn't it used for something worthwhile, something practical, something useful, like assisting the poor, for example? Think how much you could do with $15,720 if used to minister to the poor. Seemed like a total no-brainer to the disciples. Now, of course, we know that Judas' motivation was self-interest. He was in charge of the money bag from which the living expenses of the disciples were removed, and when they had the opportunity to help someone in need, the money would be used for that as well. So Judas thought that the perfume could be sold, the money taken, put in the money bag, and used for the poor. But we know that Judas was just planning to help himself to the money in the money bag as he had customarily done. Now, the other disciples were not thieves. They didn't intend to steal the money like Judas did. They just felt that the money could be better used than upon a selfless, generous, devoted act of worship toward Jesus. Now, we should look at verse 7, because here we have Jesus' assessment of the situation. It's always good to hear his assessment of a situation, and it's very simple. He said, "Leave her alone." I love that. Leave her alone. Get off Mary's case. Then he explains what Mary had done. He tells why it's important and valid, and then he offers some perspective, which was badly needed in this situation. He says that what Mary had done, essentially, was to anoint him for burial. Now, it can be a little confusing because it says, well, she has saved it for the day of my burial. It's a bit complicated, but basically, the best interpretation of it seems to be that he was just saying that, effectively, she has anointed me before my burial. It's less than a week before he dies, and he's just saying, she has done this act for me as an act of service and devotion. Mary just wanted to express her love for Jesus, her gratefulness for what he had done for her and for her family. She wasn't concerned about the cost of the offering. She just wanted to honor him. And this is the way that she chose to do it. Mary was not concerned in the least bit with what others thought, or how inappropriate it might seem to those who had gathered. Her desire was to worship, and that's what mattered. Then Jesus reminds the group that they will always have the poor with them. You will always have the poor with you. There will never be lack of opportunity to serve the poor. If that's what you want to do, that's not going to be a problem. You can do it from now until I return. Which is not to say that ministering to the poor with resources is not a good thing to do. He's just saying, you can't do this for me very much longer, because I'm not going to be here very much longer. So he commended what Mary had done. And what we really have here are simply two opportunities, one for Mary and one for the disciples. Mary took the opportunity. She seized the opportunity to worship and serve her Lord. The disciples, on the other hand, including Judas, squandered the opportunity to serve. You see, they were more concerned with criticizing Mary's service than they were in seizing the opportunity themselves. Now, we can summarize the lessons, and there are many lessons in this passage, but let me just summarize a few quickly. Opportunities for serving Jesus abound. They're everywhere. We just need to recognize them and take advantage of them. Sometimes our ministry will be misunderstood by others. We do it anyway. And that's what Mary did. Serving the Lord can be costly. You may have discovered that yourself already. And we won't always have the opportunity to serve Jesus on earth, not because he's leaving, which is the case there. He was only going to be there a few more days, and he says, you won't always have the opportunity to serve me in this context on the earth, so take advantage of it now. He's not going anywhere. We are. We're leaving. We only have so long to serve in this capacity on earth. The day will come when we will have to leave, and then the opportunities for serving in this way will no longer be there. Sometimes the greatest thing we do is worship God. Not something practical, not something useful, but just worshiping is the thing that we do that's most valuable. Sometimes we serve best by simply worshiping, which is a great reminder as we come to the Lord's table. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the reminder in this passage of your word that opportunities for service and ministry for Jesus' sake abound. They are with us every day. We only need to open our eyes and seize the opportunity when it's there. We know sometimes people will misunderstand why we are doing what we're doing, but that's okay. People misunderstood Mary's desire and her service, but it didn't stop her, and she was commended for it. We need reminding from time to time that we don't have unlimited time to serve. Though we will be in your presence as believers for eternity, we will only have one opportunity to serve you this way on this earth. And so we need to be reminded of that. And you've reminded us of that. And sometimes, Lord, you are not looking for us to do something of immediate, practical value or usefulness. You just want us to worship you. You just want us to adore you and magnify you and be appreciative of who you are and of what you've done. And what a great example Mary is of that. Many things she could have done, but she chose to, at great personal cost, just worship you, just honor you. So thank you for what this portion of your word teaches us and calls us to do. And as we come to the Lord's table now, may we take this time mostly, almost exclusively, to offer you our worship and praise and thanksgiving for what Jesus has done for us. Amen.